Good morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name. Good to see you all. Good to be back with God's people in God's house again. You have a variety of emotions as you go through life's journeys and challenges. Told the missus that just staying at home the last couple of weeks and listening to a message was relaxing. Maybe it'd be nice to just stay there again today. I can truly acknowledge and confess it. It's been good to be here and worship with God's people this morning. It takes a little effort, but it's well worth every little bit of effort that it takes to come and worship with God's people. I was especially blessed with the songs that we sang today and with the devotional. Very inspirational. And may God continue to bless each one of you as you have responsibility from time to time and leading in worship, whether it's in the song leading. Don't know whether to thank Lauren or his helpmeet for the songs that we sang this morning. Maybe a combination of both, but above all, God, that I believe directs our choristers to the songs that we would sing and lift our hearts in worship and praise. And I truly did enjoy the devotional this morning and thinking about tears and what they mean to us. And one does a lot of reflecting. There's tears of sorrow and grief and disappointment, but there's also tears of joy and they come in many different ways and serve a purpose. Well, we do greet you in the very precious name of Jesus. Trust together we can find some inspiration from God's word to encourage us. Title of this morning's message is Ten Commandments for Today. If you go back in history about 4,500 years, God came down to Moses one day and told him to come up into a mount, and he was going to give him some commandments, which Moses faithfully did. He went up into the mount, and God gave commandments to Moses. We find that in the book of Exodus, chapter 20, and you Bible scholars know what happened as he came down and found the people in idolatry and break those stones, but he got a second set of stones and rewrote them later on in the book of Exodus, probably chapter 34, I think it was. In fact, I thought we would read a bit of those chapters this morning. But you notice in our title, I say, Ten Commandments for Today. Are the Ten Commandments that were written 4,500 years ago, plus minus, are they for us today? Do they have anything for us today? Are they to be followed? Is there a blessing to those who would follow them? So I reflected on that. I thought of society in general out there, around the world, and what their attitude is, at least with some, toward the Ten Commandments. There are people, there is an element out there that says, get them out of the courthouse. Get the Ten Commandments out of our sight. I don't want to see them. I don't want to be governed by them. I don't want to be directed by them. I don't want to be reminded of God, I think is sometimes what they may be saying. But you know, as God, in his infinite wisdom, God, the creator of mankind, continued to see the activities of man. God knows what is best. And he gave those directives for the good and well-being of his created being, men and women. And I believe throughout the centuries of time, those people who honored God and respected and obeyed the Ten Commandments received a blessing. They received a blessing. Now, we often recognize the Ten Commandments broken down in two sections. I believe it's the first four that pretty much reflect man's relationship with God. Gives some direction that way. And the other six is more man to man, women, you know, our exchange with each other. And we'll see that as we go through our meditation this morning. I found this interesting paragraph, I'm not sure who wrote it, about the Ten Commandments. Many of today's popular psychologists assert that the Decalogue is just as relevant to people today as when Moses first received it. They support the thesis that a lifestyle based on the Ten Commandments reduces the vulnerability of an individual to mental illness. The Decalogue offers a basis of prevention and a means of cure. These findings should not surprise us. God gave the Ten Commandments to Israel to promote their well-being. Isn't that interesting? That's an interesting observation. That people who will follow the guidance of these Ten Commandments reduce their vulnerability to mental illness. That's an interesting deduction. Offers a basis of prevention and a means of cure. That sounds like God's way, doesn't it? God has been so good to us and provided for us instruction. And my thoughts were down these channels. And maybe that's why that song this morning, "Great is Thy Faithfulness, O God, my Father, there is no shadow of turning with Thee," meant so much to me. There's no shadow of turning with God. The Ten Commandments that were given that were for the good of mankind 4,500 years ago stand yet today. If people will only follow them, they'll be blessed by them. And the interesting thing is how simple they are. How simple they are. The unlearned can understand and follow their direction. The unlearned, if you will, can choose whether to obey or disobey them. But may I also remind you that in that option to obey them or disregard them are consequences. There's consequences. Let's choose to obey them. Our first point this morning, the Ten Commandments reveal a great God. The Ten Commandments reveal a great God. We mentioned that the first four commandments are about man's relationship with God. I did think I would read a number of verses from Exodus 34, if you'd like to turn with me there. I'd just like to refresh our minds on this magnificent scene, the presence of God. It's always inspirational to see God's presence and the impact it has on those who are specifically experiencing it at the time. Exodus chapter 34, I'll read verses 1 through 17. This is when Moses gets the two tables of stone the second time. Exodus 34, verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And he ready in the morning and came up, and be ready in the morning and come up in the morning unto Mount Sinai, and present thyself to me there to me in the top of the mount. And no man shall come up with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount, neither let the flocks nor herds feed before that mount. And he hewed out two tables of stone like unto the first. And Moses rose up early in the morning, went up unto the Mount Sinai, as the Lord had commanded him, and took his hand and the two tables of stone. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and to the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshipped. And he said, If now I have found grace in thy sight, O Lord, let my Lord, I pray thee, go among us. For it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. And he said, Behold, I make a covenant. Before all thy people I will do marvels such as have not been done in all the earth, nor in any nation. And all the people among which thou art shall see the work of the Lord, for it is a terrible thing that I will do before thee. Observe thou that which I command thee this day. Behold, I drive out before thee the Amorite, and the Canaanite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Take heed to thyself, lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land whither thou goest, lest it be for a snare in the midst of thee. But ye shall destroy their altars, break their images, and cut down their groves, for thou shalt worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God. Lest thou make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they go a warring after their gods, and do sacrifice unto their gods, and one call thee, and thou eat of his sacrifice. Now take of their daughters unto thy sons, and their daughters go warring after their gods, and make thy sons go warring after their gods. Thou shalt make thee no molten gods. We could keep on reading there, but here's how Moses went and presented himself to God, and God gives him the Ten Commandments again. With that backdrop, we'll go back to our first point. The Ten Commandments reveal a great God. And we see just a quick picture of that great God who came before Moses as Moses went up into the mountain. And it says that the Lord descended in a cloud. There was no question in the mind of Moses, and I don't believe there was a question in the minds of God's people about the whether God's presence was there or not. If we think of the commandments revealing a great God, the first commandment, we have an exclusive God. An exclusive God. Verse 3 of Exodus chapter 20 says, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. God wants to be number one. He wants to be first. He wants to be the only one this morning. God will not share his glory with another. We either serve God and worship God and have him first, or not at all. God will not share himself with other gods. He makes that very clear throughout the Old Testament as well as the New. We need to have a singular affection for God. He's an exclusive God. The ancient world was full of gods. And not only was the ancient world full of gods, the present world today is full of gods. People are serving other gods. What God are you serving this morning? Either you have committed your life to Christ, you are serving God, and he is your one and only. And if that is not a full dedication that you experience in your life, then you are serving another or other gods. God wants to be an exclusive God. He is an exclusive God. We cannot change that. If we choose not to have him as our one and only, it doesn't change the fact that he is an exclusive God, and he deserves and wants our full and first attention. He deserves it this morning. But the ancient world and the world today is full of gods. And the Israelites were living there in Egypt among those people who were serving other gods. And it was a daily challenge for them to worship and serve an exclusive God. God will not accept, God will not tolerate second place. He didn't back in their day. And when Israel went a-warring after other gods, it meant defeat and captivity and disappointment and grief and tears. But when they made God first, it was joy and fulfillment and God's blessing and victory, just as true for us today. Let's keep our God as an exclusive God and our one and only God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. The second one, he's a jealous God. Exodus chapter 20, verses 4 through 6. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. The purpose of this commandment was to keep the children of Israel from worship, forbidding them from worshiping any image of God or any image of that likeness. It kind of separates God from all the created. The created is not to be worshipped. The Creator is to be worshipped. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images. We should not have anything that captures our worship or our allegiance and takes the place of God. God is separate from all created things. Let's always remember that. He is the Creator of the created. And let's worship Him as the Creator and not allow anything that is created by man or anything that God created to deter or distract our attention. Bringing an image into worship leads to the image taking God's place. And we don't want to do that. God forbids that. The Lord is a jealous God. Our allegiance belongs to Him. The third one, He's a guarding God. Our God is a guarding God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. This commandment protects our God, our Jehovah God. Our Jehovah God is His divine name. And we worship Him. He is a God that is above all gods, one who is worthy of our worship and our adoration. Whenever someone uses the name of God, it should always be used with thought and reverence. With thought and reverence. We hear so much of using the name of God in vain today. And people in their loose language, may that never be a part of our thoughts or our vocabulary. Whenever we use the name of God, it should be with thought and reverence. God protects His name. He guards the use of His name against empty and vain purposes. May we be faithful and worship Him and use His name appropriately. Let us not take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Number four, He's a God worthy of worship. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. To worship God on one day out of seven acknowledges God's divine ownership. All time belongs to God. All the created order belong to God. And observing one day in seven symbolizes the consecration all time. May we be faithful in worshiping Him. That's why we are here this morning. That's why one day a week we set aside our earthly pursuits of life, and we gather for worship like this, because we have a God who is worthy of that. He is the one and only God. He is worthy of our worship. Let's keep this day holy. Let's keep it for Him. Let's jealously guard what we do on this special day, this first day of the week, when we gather for worship, that it might be kept holy and kept for God. And we'll move into the second point of the message this morning, which is kind of that second section of the commandments, the last six. The Ten Commandments have reasonable regulations of human behavior. The Ten Commandments have reasonable regulations of human behavior. God, our Creator, understands better than all of mankind combined how to direct them to regulate their lives, that they will be a mutual blessing to each other and a glory to God. And I believe that's what these directives will do if they are followed. And so he gives direction. And again, it's so sad in the world in which we live that there's so many people that just want to break those stones again and throw them away, don't want anything to do with them, because it's such a blessing. And God's people have found that blessing as they follow them. The Ten Commandments have reasonable regulations of human behavior. The first one, the protection of the home. We have that in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and thy mother. This one is especially for children. If you're here this morning, hear these words from God. Honor your father and your mother, that it may be thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God promises a blessing to children who will honor and obey their father and their mother. Again, very simple teaching, isn't it? Not hard to understand. Parents are given the role of authority and give direction to their homes. And children, when they're young, need to be disciplined to obey and respect their authority, their direction. It needs to be expected of them as they grow into their teenage years. And hopefully children learn to love and respect the directives of their parents, of godly parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. There's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of grief when children take their own way and don't follow this teaching. But God so graciously and lovingly gave this direction for us to follow. And we know that the family is the foundation of human society. And where a family that is godly, mother and father, husband and wife, love each other, follow God's way, they have children that come into their home. And those children are taught to love and obey their parents. There's beauty. There's love. There's God's blessing. There's peace. There's joy. There's happiness when we follow God's way. Honor thy father and thy mother. The second one, the sacredness of life. The sacredness of life. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. The Bible teaches a reverence for life. A reverence for life. And so it's with great care that we live our lives and move about, that we are not responsible for the taking of another's life. Unfortunately, we know that we have and hear of what we call accidents. Accidents happen, and lives are taken. And once a life is taken in an accident, that life never returns. And it's tragic. We sorrow. But that is totally different than when a life is taken deliberately. Cain and Abel, when Cain rose up and slew his brother, that was no accident. He did it deliberately. God is saying, thou shalt not kill. Life is sacred. We ought to have a reverence for life. Taking the life of another by murder is forbidden by God. because you are angry toward a person or whatever it might be that would stir you to do something that would take another's life is forbidden by God. Every human life is sacred, and we should honor it. We have the whole subject of abortion, the murdering of innocent children. God is looking down, and he sees every murder that happens. God does. He's not pleased. It's not God's way. Thou shalt not kill. And so as we live our lives and we go about from day to day and drive our vehicles down the road, we should always have a consciousness that I need to direct my, I need to have driving habits that will protect those around me. There's this thing called involuntary manslaughter. There's people that go to jail because they drive carelessly and end up killing someone. You become responsible if it ends up being something that you could have obviously avoided, that happened because of your carelessness. You're not observing the law of the roads. You just go ahead and you just run through the red lights and you smash into another car and you kill someone. You're a murderer. You've taken a life. And people sometimes have done that and they're drunk. Maybe they're drunk when it happened. They don't know even what they're doing, but they still are responsible for it. And then they need to carry that with them the rest of their lives. And so we go about life carefully, on our jobs or whatever it might be. We keep the shields on the equipment, and we practice safety. We practice safety because life is sacred. Thou shalt not kill. The third one under this section, the sanctity of marriage. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14 says, thou shalt not commit adultery. The Bible maintains, always has, always will, that song we sang, great is thy faithfulness, and we sang it, God does not change. God does not change, his word does not change. And God's standard for the sanctity of marriage stands the same today as it did 4,500 years ago. One man and one woman living together for a lifetime together. To violate this intention undermines God's plan and brings injury, grief, guilt, and shame. As does taking man's way and taking a walk away from God. It will bring injury, grief, guilt, and shame. God urges his people, his followers, to follow his teaching and protect the sanctity of marriage. Let us never allow the erosion of the home, the sanctity of marriage, and God's standard for one man and one woman to be threatened in our circles. Let's continue to follow God's way. Thou shalt not commit adultery. The fourth one in this section, the respect for ownership. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 15, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not steal. What is another person's personal property? What he owns? You're not at liberty to just go and get it and take it and take it along home. It appears like the Bible gives room for a person to accumulate material things. Working to have personal property does not seem to be spoken against in the scriptures, never condemned in the scriptures. And the Bible teaches us that we should respect other people's property and things. We believe it's okay to go and borrow if we ask, but to just go and take, to steal. Now, we would never go and rob a bank. We would never go and steal somebody's car. What are areas that you might be tempted to steal? To sneak a pack of candy in the store, stick it in your pocket, or just something simple and small? Thou shalt not steal. Very simple truth. Again, these are simple commandments that even the unlearned can understand and practice. The fifth one, the regard for truth. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. To have and to live in a happy relationship, society must have truthful people. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Speak the truth about yourself and about other people. Be an honest person. Don't bear false witness about your neighbor. Other people have the right to expect the truth. Always speak the truth about other people. Nothing so threatens the fabric of society as disregard of truth. And we hear that so much, and you see that so much in headlines today, that lie, lie, lie. They tell lies. They're not speaking the truth. And they point fingers. And after a while, you wonder who tells the truth. May that never be the case among God's people. Don't bear false witness against people. Speak the truth in love. Encourage each other. If you're going to speak only words of kindness and love and compassion. Never speak words that will injure or hurt other people. We need to show love. Finally, the last of the commandments, the control of inward thoughts. The control of inward thoughts. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. These other commandments that we were looking at dealt with outward actions. This last one deals with inward thoughts. And it commands us to control thoughts that would be injurious to another person's life. Thou shalt not covet. People have coveted and ended up doing things that they would not have done if they wouldn't allow themselves to take those thoughts of covetousness, the first step. Was it Achan? He saw and he desired. He coveted, he wanted to have something. And it brought sorrow. And so we have these Ten Commandments for us today. So simple to understand. So clearly taught to us by God. But if followed, are so profound. And have such profound effect on our lives. May we respect them. May we live them as God designed them for us in our time. Very simple teaching. First of all, our recognition of God and who he is and giving him his rightful place and then relating to one another in these practical areas. And so we say thank you, God, this morning for these commandments, these directives, that will bless our lives individually and collectively as we together obey them. Ten commandments for today. May we simply follow them, that God can bless our lives and we can be a blessing to one another in our congregation, in our families, and in society. May God bless you. Shall we kneel for prayer?